come and speak to me, and we'll chat about it. So that's on the 4th of June, and there'll be a bouncy castle and barbecue and the whole shebang, and it's a big party and it's fun and there's swimming and there's it's always sunny. It's always sunny. The next thing is that starting from next Sunday, we're joining in with the national initiative, which is called Thy Kingdom Come, which is a week of 24/7 prayer. So we're going to be joining in with that. That's going to be happening out back, and we're going to be setting up that space in an amazing way, just to help facilitate prayer, and for us to push into the things of God, the things of this area and the national things together. So if you would like to help set up, we're going to be doing that after 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock on Thursday, this Thursday coming. So if you want to be part of that, come and see me, come and shout. Again, as part of that, on the Friday, which is Friday the 2nd of June between 8 and 10, Chris is going to be hosting a worship evening, which it's just really cool. I'm really excited about, actually, because there's something really special, I think, when we all come together to worship in the place, especially when it's outside of a Sunday, like it's extra special. I think it's awesome on a Sunday, don't get me wrong. But when it's during the week, there's something intimate about it, and there's something released. So if you know anyone that wants to come to that, that's an open invite. So please invite anyone along to that. So if you would like to sign up for a slot on the 24/7 prayer thing, prayer week, now is your opportunity. There is a link online. There are also no pens there. Could anyone grab a pen for me quickly? Is that okay? Oh, here we go. We've got a pen shaped like Jesus here, which will make you extra holy if you sign up using that pen. You can also sign up online. The links are on Facebook. They've gone out. Actually, I don't think it did go in the newsletter, but it will be on next week's newsletter. But if you want the link for sign up, either do it here or look on Facebook, and I can message the link to you as well if you want to do it that way. It's on WhatsApp as well. If you're in a WhatsApp group, in the WhatsApp group, it's on there. And I think I honestly, I can't stress enough. I don't want to go on for too long about this, but I feel like the word I was talking about earlier, immersion, I feel like this is the space to do it. This is the space when we come together and we press in. And we break our normal schedules of our daily routines, and we come and spend time praying in this room and interceding and fighting and interceding for breakthrough in our village and breakthrough in our nation, and just for the love and goodness and joy of God to be released. And I know some of us thought it would be good. And again, this comes as a challenge from Lorraine and Maureen, but I felt challenged over this. Some of us are going to be spending some of that time fasting. So if that's something that you feel that you're able and you want to join in with, please do. I know it's difficult for different people in different life stages. And finish your cake first. It's all right, it's a celebration leading up to the it doesn't have to be food. It normally is, but if there's something that you feel you're able to give up for a day or even the whole week or a period of time, anything, I think there's something powerful in submitting something and giving something up, and I think it allows us a freedom to draw closer to God and to focus and to really press into things. So if that's something you'd like to do, that would be amazing. And I think we would see kind of the fruit from that. There's one last thing as well. as most of you will know, Jan Vickers passed away last Friday, and I know last Sunday we had a chance to kind of, I wasn't here, but I know that lots of people had a chance to say a word and just to kind of reflect on that and remember and like push in and celebrate Jan's life. But this coming Friday there's a service of remembrance and celebration for those who are able. It's at 2:30 in Maidenhead. The details, again, they've gone out in the newsletter and they're on Facebook, but if you haven't seen those, I've got some hard copies here, so if you would like to attend that and you're able and you want the details, come and get one of these hard copies. But yeah, I know it would be amazing to see as many to see people there that kind of that knew Jan, and I know that would mean a lot to her family, and it's just an amazing opportunity to celebrate a wonderful woman. And I know it's mixed up with sadness and there's grief, but it's important that we come together on these things, I think. Yeah, I'd like to invite Colin up, who I believe has come to speak to us on the head and the heart.
Yes, I have indeed.
Colin's wonderful. I just want to pray really quickly.
Thank you, that'd be good.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you for everything that Colin brings, Father. I pray for easiness and for fun and for joy for him as he shares, and just wide open ears and wide open hearts for the rest of us to hear what Colin's saying and what you have to say through him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be with you guys this morning. I've had a couple of fantastic weeks in Nepal, and wonderful. They send their Jai Masi to those of you that came with me from the Big Year a few years ago. We had a fantastic time, and I'm going to tell a few stories in amongst the preach this morning because they just kind of fit so well with that subject. And if we're honest, I've been asked to speak on the journey from the head to the heart. If we're honest, really, that's a vital journey for us. And we live in an age when there's so much information for our heads, and yet our hearts often live in poverty. There's an overload of information and a dearth of revelation in terms of really living it out in a healthy way. And so it's a desperately needed word. How do we move from the head to the heart? Really, give me an ounce in the heart than a ton in the head. Because it's the heart that helps us, that enables us to live. I mean, the head's interesting, it's entertaining, but it's the heart that really helps us to live. And all the best things in life flow from the heart in that sense, love and things like that. Science doesn't really speak to. It's not about knowledge, it's about life. So how do we move from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge? Because I'm pretty sure here that you guys are probably full up to overflowing with head knowledge. You know so much. You know more probably than any other generation in the whole of history. That's phenomenal. The information that you have at your fingertips, and some of you have in your hands right now, the information that you have is just astronomical. It's mind-blowing. We can get information on anything we like, any time, any place. And yet it doesn't really help us to find peace and to find that deep sense of who I am and how to live. So we're the richest generation at one level, but actually we're like every other generation. We've got to find our why and live from that heart place. So how are we going to move from our heads to our heart? Well, we're going to look at Jesus a bit because obviously he's the ultimate example. Anybody read Bill Johnson's book, God is Good, recently? His latest book? No one. Okay, I recommend it to you. It's a fantastic book. It's just... He says in that book, you know, and he says that, I've heard him say it many times, that Jesus is the standard. We don't have any other standard but Jesus. So whatever's going on in our heads right now, this morning, the standard is Jesus. I'm going to call us all back to that. The thing is, have you come expecting a breakthrough this morning? Wanting one, not expecting. That's honest, John. Yeah. That's honest. And I bet you, if I went around the room and had an honest conversation with you all, I bet you that would be the majority decision. That wanting one, but not necessarily expecting one. A bit like that disciple that said, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. I want to say this morning that Jesus is here to help us in our unbelief. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is going to help me in my unbelief today. It's good to prophesy breakthrough. You know, when I took the team away to Nepal for the Ignite students, you know, they've been learning a lot this year, but mission is a chance to go away and take what's in your head and outwork it from your heart. See how much of it gets from there to there. And the prophetic is often a way of releasing something in us, an expectation. And the day before we left, I was reading Isaiah chapter 10, and I hope it's a habit of yours to read the Bible, because God will always speak to us through his word. And I was reading it, and a verse leapt out at me, which is a lovely verse from chapter 10, verse 27. It talks about the Assyrians coming, and they're ravaging the earth, the most terrifying nation, capturing whole nations and transporting them to other nations, really causing a lot of terror. And the word is, do not be afraid of the Assyrians. The thing is, there are loads of things arrayed against you today, loads of challenges in your life, loads of fears, loads of things that you might fear. And God says, do not fear the Assyrians. Do not fear the things that are arrayed against you today. You may have witnessed them cause all kinds of havoc in different places at different times, but do not fear them. And he said, in a short while, the burden will be lifted from your shoulders. And then at the end of the verse, it says, the yoke will be lifted and the yoke will be broken because of the anointing. And I love that. The reason I love that, and you know, God is fantastic. The reason I love that is because it's not broken because all of a sudden I've got a bit of extra knowledge, a bit of extra cleverness, I can suddenly work my way out. It's not broken because I'm suddenly strong enough and therefore I can break the yoke and break free. It's not about me being bigger, cleverer, stronger, or any better than anybody else. God's promise is the yoke is broken because of the anointing. It's just something that God has chosen us. You know, I hope you know that this morning. You are chosen. Not for salvation, but to bring salvation. God chooses every man, woman, and child for salvation. But you, who have responded to him, who have trusted in Jesus, have been anointed, chosen to bring salvation to the rest of the earth. We've got an election coming up in a couple of weeks. But we've already been elected. The word chosen and elected are very similar. We've been elected a role to play, and that's to bring heaven to earth. So anyway, I was reading this, and I suddenly realized this was the word that God was giving us for the mission trip, the day we're about to leave. So the first morning we get there, we land in Kathmandu, and it's raining. The monsoons have arrived early. Hallelujah. It's terrible. I was promising them 30 degree temperatures, and it was down at 18. It was like England. I was like, we've come all this way. And it's just like, anyway. So we gather and we're praying and worshipping. And I know that I've just got to declare this prophetic word over the team because it's going to help them move from their heads to their hearts. So I just declare it over them. Just like I've done to you this morning, and I said to them, the Lord says the yoke is going to be broken because of the anointing. He's anointed us to come to Nepal. He's going to break yokes through us. He's anointed us to bring salvation. So he's anointed us to break yokes, to lift burdens from people. So prophesy that to your neighbor. I said, prophesy it to the person next to you. The Lord is going to lift burdens through us this week. That was a word particularly for that trip and for that day, but it's a word that's true for us now, today, if we let it travel from our heads to our hearts. You're anointed. The Bible tells you that. You are anointed. God has given you his Holy Spirit. You have everything you need for life and godliness. The yoke will be broken because of the anointing. Not only the yoke over your life to set you free, to help you live freely, but also when you minister to other people, you can lift yokes and break yokes off them and set them free. So one of the keys to moving from our heads to our hearts is the prophetic. It's actually hearing the word of God and declaring it out. Now, every one of us hears the word of God. Not every one of us declares it. It's a good practice to declare it over yourself. Really is a good practice to receive it as a word of God. I love the Nepali people. I've been going there for 20 years. And when I go, they expect to hear from God through me. You might think that's a bit mad. I certainly used to think it was mad when I first started to go. But they wore me down. They dragged the word of God out of me because they honored me. They expected to hear God from me. So I had to stand up and deliver that. The thing is, are we prepared to do that in our own context here? It's much harder. So to go on mission trip is a fantastic way of moving from your head to your heart. So we were out there. Our journeys are roughly the same. We start with a calling. We start by hearing something that's attractive. We start by hearing something which says, actually, that makes sense. Actually, I'd like to investigate that. I reach out maybe and see and test God and say, God, if you're there, come into my heart. And we experience something. Our journey starts by watching, seeing other people, seeing it work for them. I watched my brother. I saw his life be transformed from someone who was a bit of a bully, a bit of a drunkard, a bit of a womanizer, back to his childlike state, which was the biggest hearted boy that I knew. I saw the world beat it out of him. I saw Jesus restore it. I watched. I listened. I learned. That's what all disciples do in the start. That's all we can do. That's exactly what Jesus' disciples did. He said, come, follow me. He followed them around. They followed him around. He taught them how to talk to God. He taught them how to pray. Our Father. Calling them to that place of friendship with God. Our Father, call into the place of sonship. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. They watched him heal the sick. Amazing. When we were in the pool, one of the first things we did was went to the graduation ceremony of the River of Life Bible Training Center. Now, that's a training center I set up 10 years ago with my friends in Nepal, and they're still running. It was destroyed by the earthquake, but they rebuilt it. It's a bit of a shack now, and they need about £10,000 or £12,000 to rebuild it properly. But you know, hey ho, they're getting on with the work. So they had the graduation. They organised the graduation, especially for the day when I could be there. So we were honoured. I got a big rosette saying chief guest. We preached and we prophesied over the students. And then this lady came up and asked for prayer for healing. And she had pains in her legs and pains in her arms. She couldn't speak English, but she was talking through a translator. So I just ministered to her. And the team were all watching because this lady was starting to make some noise. And she started to jump. And then she started to copy me to dance because she'd loved the way I danced in the worship. She started then to dance as well, and the pain had left her body. Later in the week, the guys were actually practicing healing themselves. But the thing is, they watched me that day. That gave them confidence. It's good to hang out with people that actually are moving in a bit more of the heart than we are. To watch, to grow in discipleship. I know Vicky and Tom have started a discipleship group. Hang out. Be with people that are moving in things that we're not, that are pushing through to a greater level of living in the heart than we are. And we will learn. So the disciples started that. That was calling. Watching, learning as he taught them, demonstrated to them, showed them. But you know, that is head knowledge. We need a lot of head knowledge to start with because we don't know anything. But at some point or other, it's got to transfer to heart. It's got to transfer to us doing stuff on our own. And sure enough, Jesus, what's one of the first things he does after they spent a bit of time following him, watching him, learning from him, he then says, right, I'm now sending you out. Really, it's a bit like you guys being here at the Journey, you know, working at the hub, whatever, watching what people do, and then them saying, right, now I'm going to send you out to some other places. I want you to go and do what you've seen us do. It's a bit scary. Can you put yourself in the place of the disciples? They follow Jesus. They've heard him say wonderful things. He's talked about God in a way which is just unbelievable. You know, that he's my Father. That he's for me. I've watched him heal the sick. I've watched him drive out demons. I've watched him cleanse lepers. I've watched him raise a young girl from the dead. And now he says, right, off you go. Go and do the same. And you're thinking, whoa. How would you feel? It's not moved from there to there yet. And he's sending you out. Go and do it. The thing is, if we hang around people that are doing it, we'll never do it. Because we'll always just bring them to the person who we've seen them do it before. We're all the same. But if we're on our own, all of a sudden everything changes. So he sends them out. The reason we know that how do we know that they didn't expect it to really work for them when Jesus sent them out? Well, did they go out full of confidence, you know? Did they return saying, yeah, well, it worked out pretty much as you said, Jesus, you know? Were they all cool about it? What was their reaction? What was their reaction when they returned? Well, the 72, we're not told about the 12, actually, but we are the 72 in Luke chapter 10. They were amazed. They returned full of joy. Wow! It works. That's the reaction. I don't know about you. That's the reaction I had when God answered my prayers. That's the reaction it had. It had when I was leading Alpha courses 20 years ago and I was praying for the Holy Spirit to come down and he came. Wow! It works. That's the reaction it had when I prayed for a guy in Windsor after a training session who had a headache migraine headache, and it left him. He was a non-Christian, but it left him, so it's the only time it ever happened to him in his life. Wow! It works! That was the reaction of a guy that we prayed for at that same place 20 years ago, at lunchtime at work, just reading the Bible, praying together, who hadn't slept for a week. We prayed for him. He slept all week. He had trouble keeping awake. Wow! It worked! The disciples were amazed. It started to get from there to there. They started to actually believe that they could do these things. You know, when we were in Nepal 2 weeks ago, or last week, we travelled around together, ministering together. We did a day conference together where they got up and spoke, and I just filled in the gaps, you know, if they... But then we all split up, and we all went to different churches, five different churches. Went in pairs, most of us. So I went on my own, and Richard Whiff went on his own, but the rest of us went in pairs. And two people that had never preached before went together, and they led a whole service where they preached and ministered for an hour together. They'd never done it before in their lives. They'd done it with us. They'd watched others do it. They'd never done it. I tell you, the joy was mine when they got back, because the joy on their face was incredible. For starters, one of them had had a dream before Christmas about something he should speak on, and he spoke on it about this box, and in this box there was a mirror in it, hidden, the lid on it, and he said, you know, God can do anything he likes, so he can have anything he wants, but there's something really precious that he can't actually get unless you give it to him. And so basically that was the message. But then she got invited them up one by one to have a look in the box. And of course, they just saw their reflection. The first lady that gets up, the first Nepali lady that goes and have a look, bursts into tears. God is ministering to her heart. He knows now that God ministers to the hearts of the people through what he shared. At the end, when they were praying for people, a lady comes up with a huge lump on the back of her shoulder there. These guys never pray for the sick. This is Poe Otten and Nathan Swazinski we're talking about. Poe's never spoken in front of anybody. He hates it. He's very shy. And Nathan never hardly speaks. He's a quiet guy. Very, very quiet, but lovely. Anyway, they were praying for this lady through an interpreter, and she goes off. 10 minutes later, she comes back and says, look, it's gone. The thing is, did it move from their head to their hearts before they prayed or after? After. We cannot get there without the experience. It requires us to step out of our comfort into the uncomfortable place, to put ourselves on the line, because that's where we see God turn up. If we keep in our comfortable place, we will never grow. Things will work out exactly as we expect. We've got to step out over the fear, step out over the ditch, into the place of discomfort. If God doesn't show up, I look a bit stupid. And that's where he meets us. What an amazing story. So we move from the place of calling to commissioning. Jesus commissions us. He says, go and do what you've seen. Go, wait in the city until you've received power from on high, then go be my witnesses throughout the entire world. So we move into that place where we start to work with him. We start to see the things that we saw him do. Why do we need to be commissioned? Yeah. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with that word, authority. if we don't know we're commissioned, we're acting in our own authority. It doesn't feel like, oh, who am I to be saying or doing this kind of thing? But if we've been commissioned, we can step out knowing that we've been asked to step out in someone's authority. And, you know, if we've got God's authority, that's pretty high. But that's what we've got. Jesus has commissioned you and me. He says, go into all the world. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. I commission you. Now, that's an easy thing to say, but again, how do you get that from the head to your heart? You have to step out and try it. What you find, when you step out and try it, God meets you, just as he did the guys last week in Nepal. He meets you. So let's embrace the commissioning. The thing is, we're all the same. That we hear that and we think, yeah, that's all right for you. You're a better Christian than me. You read your Bible, you pray. You probably haven't got those hidden sins that I've got. It's all rubbish. We're all the same. We've all got the hidden sins and shames. We've all feel inadequate. None of us can do it by our own strength. We can only do it because of the anointing. We can only do it because of the commissioning. Jesus says, I send you out. So we've got to move from that place of calling, just watching and listening and learning, to the place of commissioning, knowing that we're sent. Knowing, not knowing up there, but knowing down here. Which only happens when we go. It can't happen before. This is why we return full of joy. And when we go, we find it works. Does it work all of the time? No. I love commissioning. That's why, in a sense, we do Ignite in the big year. That's why I did Radical Network in Ichthys. In a sense, that was like a commissioning. Learning a lot and actually saying, yes, you can go and do this stuff. It was a push out into that commissioning phase. And when we push out, does it always work? No, is the honest answer. It doesn't all work. I prayed for Jan Vickers many, many times. I prayed for Jan more times than I prayed for anybody else last year. She still died. What does that do? What does the failure do? What's the right response to failure? What's the right response to not seeing what you think you should see? Because you can just give up. You know, John Wimber felt that he was called to pray for the sick. And him and the elders called the sick out every week for months and months and months and months and months and months and months, and nothing happened. I mean, it's a pretty crazy story when you think about it. You've not seen any healing. You haven't been in the place where you've actually watched someone else do it, but you feel God has said it, so you step out and you call it out, and then nothing happens. So you think, okay, I'll have another go. And then you do it, but you do that week in, week out for months. That takes some faith. It's the right response, but I don't know how they did it. But he released a whole lot of healing, the healing movement all over the Western world through that. We've recaptured something thanks to that man and his team in the church. So, but it doesn't always work. You know, it worked for Poe and Nathan last week. Fantastic. But the next time they pray, it might not work. What is that about? How do we handle that? There's a time in Scripture, isn't there, when that happened? Do you know when that was? Sorry? Well, yeah, there was that. Jesus said he couldn't do any miracles there. But there was a time when the disciples, after they'd been sent out, were praying for someone, it didn't work. Do you remember that? If you've got a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. We'll read it. From verse 14, it says, when he came to the disciples, this is after he'd been transfigured on the mount, he'd been away with a couple of the guys, he came down, He saw a great multitude around the disciples, and the scribes were disputing with them, they were arguing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and they came running towards him to greet him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Why are you arguing? What's going on? Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." Sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it, really? But you can you hear his exasperation? "I've modeled this stuff to you. I've shown you how to do it. You've been doing it. What's happened now?" So they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he's been thrown in both into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can." If? He's having a bit of a joke, isn't he? "If you can. Believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief." You can relate to that, can't you? I know I can. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter into him no more." I like that. I like the fact that Jesus is wanting to get it over with before the crowd gathers, before more people come. You see, these things aren't ever given or done to show off. Often you'll find Jesus take people to one side, or he'll do it in a way which means the crowd don't see it. Because it's never done to show off and to make people believe. It's always done as a response of compassion to just break the yoke, to lift the burden. So anyway, he prays for him. The spirit cries out, convulses him greatly, and came out. He became like one dead, and many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" How many people have asked that? How many times have you asked that? How many times have you prayed in faith for something and not seen it and asked that question? Anybody? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to them? Someone tell me. You've got an NASB. NRSV. The New King James says this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, if we're not careful, we'll hear that in a religious way. What do you hear when Jesus says that? This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. What do you hear? You really, really, really want it. What else do you hear? You have to do something to get it. What else do you hear? You're not good enough. Thank you. Thank you. There's an honest man. Because that's what I hear when I read that sometimes. I'm not praying enough. I'm not fasting enough. Interestingly, the fasting bit is not in the earlier manuscripts. So your Bible is probably a little bit more. There's two basic manuscript traditions. One of them often has a little bit of extra in it, which is the one that the King James is based on and the New King James is based on, which I've got. The other one is slightly less religious in tone. If you read it, it's quite funny. You can imagine someone redacting the just adding a bit of clarity here and there, just so people really understood. But you might hear that. But if we hear that, we have got the wrong message. Because it's always, this growth of my head to heart is always about grace. It's never about earning. We don't earn the healing, the right to heal, by praying more. We don't earn it by fasting more. This is not about twisting God's arm. This is not about showing that we're better than the guy next door to me, and therefore I can pray more effective prayers. What is it about? Sorry? Yes, a positioning yourself, definitely. In what way? Submitting yourself, yeah. What is it about for you? This is the key part, really. I think if you have compassion, things do work more, because you're more in tune with the heart of God. God's heart is always for compassion. His whole motive when walking and teaching and preaching and doing the miracles to the crowds was compassion. Never to show off, never to prove a point, never to convince people that he was right. Just compassion to lift the burden. So what is he saying? This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. We dare not allow that to drive us into works. This is not a works contract where if we do the right things, we get the right answer. We put the right pennies in the slot, we get the jackpot. This has nothing to do with that. What is it to do with? Yes, thank you. Connection. This is a call to intimacy. Prayer is simply a religious word for talking to God. Because the more we hang out with God, the more we connect with him and talk and chat these things through, the more revelation we get of his heart, the more compassion that is stirred in us. But also the more conviction we have that this is the kind of thing that God loves to do. So this was never about a more religious life, which we can push it down that route. Never about that. It was a push into more grace. It was a push into, I just need to understand God's heart a bit more so I can actually walk out with conviction the truth. I can pray with conviction. Because we pray differently when we pray with conviction. I know I have an anointing to heal arthritis. I don't know how, don't ask me how I know that. I guess my father had it and I was praying about it. But I just felt I had it. And I remember praying at one deeper. I don't know if you were there. It was over at the pastor's church. And I was having a terrible time. None of my team were there. And I was feeling all kind of weak. And I said, God, you've got to do something. He said, what are you anointed for, Colin? What are you anointed for? Well, I said, I know you've anointed me to break arthritis. He said, well, there you go. Pray for that. So I called out all those with arthritis. And five people came out. They all received a measure of healing. I mean, Richard was one on that night. You received a measure of healing in your fingers. One guy there, called Mick, who was an elder of that church, he was getting crippled with arthritis. He came out. The arthritis was broken. He was one of the guys that came to Nepal with us on this trip. And he was dancing. Dancing. He said, "There's no," and he was sleeping on these rock hard beds that Nepalis have. You might as well not have any covers. It's just rock hard, like sleeping on the floor. 70 odd year old man, dancing, sleeping on. No, he said, "There's not a sign of arthritis in my body." Praise God. We pray differently when we know. What are you anointed for? What's the grace on your life? You have to push into that. So this call is a call just to spend time with your Father so that you understand who you are and his heart a bit more. It wasn't about them earning something. It's a relational thing. Our faith is relational from beginning to end. Okay, let's move on, because otherwise... the last bit then. We moved on from calling, we moved to commissioning, we've gone on to co-working, and that the last bit though is about communing, because this always, it always leads to the same place. Our faith is a relational faith. We have to move from calling through commissioning through co-working, where it works sometimes and doesn't work sometimes, to a place of communion where we're actually living with God and understanding his heart. And John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches," is all about that. Abide in me, commune with me, live with me, breathe, you know, live what I say. In fact, that chapter of John is in the middle of a section from 14 to 17, which is all about intimacy. It's all about intimacy. This is the last night Jesus is with his disciples. He's taken them on that journey. So he talks about the Father's house. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Yeah, John 14. I'm going to take you to come and be with me in my Father's house. Later on, verse 23, it says, if you do what I say, if my commands live in you, then me and the Father are come and live within you. Jesus says, me and the Father will move in. Intimacy. We live together. This is God's heart from the very beginning, that God and man would live together. Of course, intimacy with the Spirit. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit too. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to pray. He's going to send you another helper to be with you. Yeah? So it's intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your teacher, your guide, your comforter. Intimacy with the Son. The vine, the branches, living in vital union, depending on him. The whole thing is geared up around intimacy. The only route to that, that's why Jesus says the only way to the Father is through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a bold claim, but it was never to decry other religions. It was just to say, if you want to be intimate with God, come through me. So we have to move somehow from the place of being a servant to being a friend. Because Jesus says in that passage, I've called you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I call you my friend. Because a servant, you know, I don't call you a servant anymore, because a servant doesn't really understand his master. But I call you a friend because you know my heart. From the place of knowing the heart of God, we move into that place of where we can be his representatives. We represent Jesus. You know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We are ambassadors, co-workers for Christ. Ambassadors represent a whole nation. So as ambassadors of Christ, we represent heaven. We can only do that through intimacy. So we need to move to that place of heart. Prayer will do it. Worship will do it. Bible reading will do it, because actually we get a revelation of God through those things. It's about moving us. It's not about earning something. It's just about getting to know God's heart. At the end of our mission trip, we had a beautiful morning of prayer and worship. And the Holy Spirit was just present. And I don't know if you experience this, but when you just feel the love of God all around, suddenly people look different to you. That's the best place to prophesy from. Compassion in your heart springs up at that moment. And you can see more clearly than you can when you just look in the flesh. We need to pray for one another, guys. Can we just practice opening our eyes? Just dwelling in that place of God's compassion for one another. Let's stand, because we need to move. If we're going to do this, I'm going to continue to pray for people, but I want us all to be praying for one another. You are all anointed, and the yoke is broken because of the anointing. Burdens will be lifted today as you pray, as you prophesy for people, not just as I do, but as you do. So let's believe that and take another step of faith this morning. Father, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. Thank you for the breakthroughs that are coming this morning because of your anointing, just because of your favor that rests on us for no other reason. Help us in our unbelief. Let us break through to another realm of glory. Give us eyes to see one another as you see us, to speak the words of life, to commission one another, to call one another to higher places. Let's just rest in the goodness of God. His heart is full of love towards you this morning. With all of your fears, with all of your uncertainties, with all of your doubts, his heart is overwhelmingly compassionate towards you. And he uses jars of clay to minister his goodness to people. He just needs a willing volunteer. Those guys went to Nepal, all came back completely changed by that experience. Everyone could see it in the room on Wednesday night. I pray for that releasing in this place, Lord Jesus. This might be a season of commissioning, a season of co-working, a season where people break through, Lord God, in their walk with you and move out from head into the heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let's pray.